Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back, friends, to Waypoint 101. I'm your host, Rob Zachney, and this week's reading comes after we've spent the last 2 weeks in intensive study and contemplation during our Fortnite. And we actually have the full crew here, starting with Austin Walker.
Hey.
And Danielle Riendo.
Hi, how's it going?
We got Patrick from Chicago.
Hey.
What?
That's what? A Chicago noise.
Oh, okay.
He's calling in.
He introduced me differently, so I felt like I needed to, there was a different energy with my introduction.
And we also managed to get Danica Herod on an extremely busy day, so we feel very blessed.
So
okay, well, goodbye, Danica. It was great having you.
So great.
I know you're super busy, and I think you have a train to catch.
That's tomorrow, Rob, but, you know, thanks.
You wouldn't want to miss it, you know?
Yeah, just get there early, I always say.
These days, security? Ugh. That train station?
All right, so before we get into the game we spent the last 2 weeks playing, I actually want to talk for just a second about the one we mostly ignored, Fortnite Save the World, or as it was formerly known in the pre-Battle Royale era, Fortnite. This is the game I played ages ago at a preview event at Epic Games. This is the one they launched with last year. What happened to that game? And is it just an accident that a modified version of that game has sort of become like the biggest game in the world right now? Or was there always something special about Fortnite that just kind of got missed in that initial launch?
Well, Austin's the only one who's actually played Save the World.
As he was quick to point out.
I was.
Yes.
Just hand shot up front of the class.
You know, I think there was something special about that game. And I think parts of that translate. I think that like the character design in that game has clearly been something that like is approachable, is friendly, and depending on which side of the bed you got up in the morning, it's either like off-brand Pixar or off-brand DreamWorks or off-brand TF2, right? And those are things that like, you know, you can spin those as insults, but it's a very friendly looking game. And it looks much more friendly than Fortnite Save the World, aka Survive the Night, aka Sprint Through the Storm, and all the other bullshit names I've given it. That game is actually pretty complex in its structure, at least it was at launch. You know, you had these mission modes where you'd go out and defend an area and build up a little fort, it was a wave-based shooter, basically. You know, zombies of various kinds that had some had special abilities, some were harder to kill, some were easier to kill, would rush the base that you and your friends had built and filled with traps, and you kind of built choke points, and it was kind of a wave-based, or almost in some cases a tower defense game with all of the traps. And on top of that, there was this really absurd meta layer that I think doesn't even show up in the tutorial about kind of advancing your character and getting unlockable cards that represent like NPCs that are part of your base, and crafting weapons that degrade over time, and you need to get new materials to craft new weapons with, and you have to like craft armor or craft ammo while you're out in the field. Like, it's a very complex game with a very simple facade, and I think that was a big part of why it didn't click. That despite the fact that it had this really great cartoonish look and the explosions looked like really fantastic and it was fun to build. It was always fun to put a ramp up with your friends and like go like, oh, now I'm going to build this little new wing onto your tower that you built. Now I'm going to build this other outcropping over here. It was just not a particularly easy game to get into despite all of that. So I'm not surprised it didn't find an audience. And I do think that there was something of its later success in that original product.
I will say that after I had finished the extremely convoluted Save the World tutorial,
you were in that thing for like a week.
It's calling it a tutorial is maybe granting it like too much. It's like you start the game and then it just throws you into things that seem like a tutorial, but then it never tells you when the tutorial ends. And even when it seems like the tutorial has ended, it hasn't actually explained like any of the mechanics that make, like, why am I hitting these pinatas? What do I even use these, like, object, like, who are these soldier cards that I'm collecting? I can upgrade them? Like, how does the crafting even work in this game? Like, it explains like literally nothing other than, well, you build stuff and you shoot it, which is, yes, the base like parts of PvE, but like, it was impressive how badly it actually explains itself, which I don't know is just indicative of like all the resources went into Battle Royale and like they just didn't smooth out like the on-ramp into a game that is still early access, because it's common for early access games to add the tutorial much later when they're like, you know, coasting to 1.0 and they think that the average person is going to start playing this. But it was bizarre that we spent like three different mornings thinking, all right, we're going to play this Save the World thing and we'll stream it so we can kind of see this other part of the game, and then just not being able to because it was confusing about whether we could match up or start playing together or what even the other parts of the game do. It was weird.
Danica, did you ever make it to the end, and were all your questions answered?
I got to the end, and but I, like Patrick mentioned, I didn't know that it was the end, and then I just like had no desire to continue after that.
Oh,
fair.
Yeah, I didn't find, like, if the end of the tutorial at least section was supposed to be like, and now go off and play. I was like, no. Well, actually, I think I don't want to. Like, they didn't. There's not a compelling on ramp into whatever is interesting about that game, and I have zero interest in ever playing PvE ever again.
So the thing there is very much that it keeps tutorializing for the next like 2 hours of play because it has to tutorialize all the side systems. It has to tutorialize the fact that you can build NPC squads that you send out on missions. Like it's Assassin's Creed, like 2 Brotherhood or whatever. It has to tutorialize the fact that you have the 5 different mission types that you'll have.
But why is it giving you the soldier cards before you can even know what to do with them?
You get a lot of loot you cannot use. A lot of like components for the various meta systems. My understanding is that they've streamlined some of this stuff, but I haven't checked back in because no one I know is playing, you know? And that's
someone that's done it recently. I don't know if I would call it streamlined.
fair.
I mean, Danica, it sounds like you said when you hit the end of it that you just had no desire left to mess around with that mode at all. I'm curious, like, what you make of it in the end, and did you see any of what made Fortnite successful in that mode, in that tutorial?
Well, I like really like PvE in games. The PvE in TF2 is my favorite part of TF2, and I really liked when Overwatch does a PvE event. So I was super excited, but I think the tutorial itself just kind of turned me off of playing the game. I don't know if when they launched they had that hour-long tutorial. I think they did, because I googled when does the Fortnite Save the World tutorial end, and every answer was from late 2017 of people just like trying to figure out where the game started and where the tutorial ended. But I don't see from that, based on the tutorial, how the game would have garnered, you know, success.
So,
because I don't know that I would pay money for that.
Right. Which they're still asking. They're still asking, how much is Save the World off the top of your head?
30, right?
Yeah, that's real money.
Yeah.
That's not nothing.
That's an outfit. Come on.
Listen, that's real money until you get to Battle Royale where you got to look fresh as hell the way I do.
Yeah, it's an outfit. It's a mayor of Tomato Town outfit.
You mean Tomato Tom.
Sorry, please.
Oh, wow. Tomato Tom is here now. He has thoughts on Fortnite.
Oh. I think you should workshop the character a little bit. I'm not sure you
that's
quite
what this
found
is right him. Here. Tomato Tom is here.
I'm not
he
sure
has
Tomato
thoughts
Tom
on pizza
really
pie and Fortnite.
Tomato Tom cut off pieces of himself to make the pizza?
He's
made
tomato
of flesh
Tom.
Like Paper Mario. Yeah, his town is made of his flesh.
Yes. And I'm made of my town.
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. This is getting pretty horrific.
I like the grenade launcher best. Y'all have any other thoughts or questions, Tomato Tom? I came all the way out here.
Thoughts or questions?
I flew in from Tomato Town.
When I think of Tomato Town, all I can think of is
Tomato.
Okay.
Tomatoes.
I gotta go, everybody. I gotta get back to Tomato Town. I gotta go back to making pizzas out myself. Bye.
God.
I'm back. So, hey, sorry about that. I had to take a quick call.
Austin, you just missed anything Tomato important? Tom.
Who?
I can't believe
Tomato
it.
Tom. You missed him.
Oh, it's the mayor from Tomato Town, my favorite place on the Fortnite map.
Yeah.
I'm so mad I missed him. I wanted to thank him about how it was incredible he built an entire town around just a pizza shop and a taco stand, and that is it.
And you should make sure to thank him for his service, by the way. It sounds like he's a vet, and it sounds like things got pretty real over in Nam, and that's why he's cooking pizzas out of himself.
Things go wild in war, Rob.
That classic,
you know?
That classic Vietnam
really
veteran
takes a
story.
Piece of himself.
Yeah. No, so let me tell you, like, I played Fortnite ages ago at like a preview event in at Epic Games, and with my unerring instinct for what's going to be a hit, for what's going to really blow up with the kids, I looked at that and I was like, oh hell yeah, it's like. Orcs Must Die, but completely like it's like Orcs Must Die meets Terraria in some ways. Like everyone's going to love this. This is going to be great. And I don't think like the thing that didn't dawn on me is Orcs Must Die is pretty good and pretty self-contained and does a lot of the lifting for you in terms of understanding its concepts because it's putting you in really like constrained scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And Fortnite, because it gives you all that freedom, really is kicking you off into a much deeper pool than its art style and tone really suggests. And I suspect that's like one of the reasons that Save the World didn't really catch.
How do you mean? Can you like expand on that a little bit with because I haven't played Orcs Must Die. I just kind of like, I've seen the Steam trailer.
Okay. So Orcs Must Die is a like, sort of third-person shooter meets tower defense game,
mm-hmm.
where you're running around these maps and you are building basically like little fortifications, little traps for these like waves of orcs that come along, and you have to massacre them before they all reach the you know, whatever the MacGuffin is that you have to protect. But then also in these levels, you're running around with like a machine gun crossbow, and right. you also have to go and like kill the orcs and use your special abilities. In order to keep them at bay as well. So, like, if you over-rely on traps, you won't have the damage to put out fires. And if you don't build effective enough mazes and traps, then you're just going to be overwhelmed because you can't be everywhere. And that tension reminded me a lot of what Fortnite sort of set out to be, which was you are kind of building the maze. You have right. even more control over the map. And so, like, I found that really irresistible, but at the same time, it's so open-ended that you can get completely lost. You can never even locate what the maze is supposed to look like, right? Because really, you kind of have to invent it. And that's a really different task
yeah.
than what a tower defense game asks of you.
Yeah. It's also just, like, not easy to build mazes. Mazes are hard things to design. Like effectively, it's what the entire tower defense genre isn't actually about building mazes. It's about placing things inside of mazes in the right choke points and stuff like that. There are some where you build mazes, but like this is a new skill set, and it's on top of just like also you need to know how to fucking build a real ass maze. And then when you get to Battle Royale, the thing that's the most interesting is like, no, you don't. What you need to know how to build is towers. What you need to know how to build is up and like not anything that's about like guiding someone anywhere. It uses the tool set that's supposed to be about building kind of mostly flat structures that have lanes and have traps and blah, blah, blah into like, I need height advantage and I need a wall in front of me to protect me from being shot, which is not really a hyper concern of the main game. Like everybody in Save the World, not the main game. The main game at this point is Battle Royale. But at the time, Save the World, you know, the zombies shot very slowly. It was very easy to dodge their attacks or just back away and build walls that would stop them from getting, you know, low walls that would stop them from getting close to you while you just killed them. It's so interesting to see those mechanics transfer over into the Battle Royale mode.
Yeah, let's sort of dive into that. And I think a good place to start this might actually be the question that Jeff Grubb asked just before we went on the air. If PUBG never existed and Fortnite Battle Royale came along just as it is, do you think it would have caught on in the same way? And I like starting with this question because I think it kind of begins from the place where our relationship with Fortnite began, which is like y'all were pretty all in on PUBG, and then we realized that like, oh, there's this entire world out there that we were missing, and we were kind of sleeping on one of the biggest games of the year. But I think we had that initial resistance because it seemed like it was such a, you know, hackish job of mimicking PUBG in some ways. I think at least that was our initial read on it. And so I kind of want to start the conversation there, right? Like, to what degree does this feel like it owes a great deal to PUBG, and to what degree did it end up feeling like its own distinct experience for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was sort of a collective feeling amongst a lot of people who were into PUBG in 2017 was that, like, why should we reward this clone with sort of our interest? Like, one, already had sunk a lot of hours into PUBG, but also, like, you're right, like, calling it hackish seemed, like, very on point. Like, they were even taking the branding of Battle Royale, like, and it was just like, fuck this. Like, I'm not even gonna, like, I was actually, like, in some ways, like, offended that they could be so blatant about it, and I hadn't really played much of Fortnite other than like 45 minutes of the Save the World stuff, and it didn't click with me, and so I moved on. And like then I saw that and was like, well, then just fuck Fortnite, I guess. And at that point was still so invested in PUBG and like trying to get the win that Austin and I were trying to get last year that I had a very dismissive attitude about it and just basically just deleted it from my memory. But I think that. The intention was just to copy a popular mode and transport it into their own, which is a thing that is not unique to Epic Games or Fortnite. That happens in video games all the time. This is not a unique circumstance. But did they accidentally stumble upon like something fresh and interesting when they applied the thing that was unique about their game, which was the building mechanics, and put it into this game mode, which was not something they built? I think they did. Like, I mean, like that's my broad takeaway. Like, going through this arc of dismissive to forcing myself to understand was that whether intentional or not, they ended up landing on something that was wholly unique, even if it came from a place of let's just take the thing that's popular and graft it onto our thing.
Right. I it's hard because like at the end of the day, what I get from PUBG is so different than what I get from Fortnite, which I guess suggests that it could still have been a thing, especially because it's reaching people who bounced off of PUBG, who didn't find something to love in PUBG. That there's enough of the core fantasy there, that, or enough of a unique sale there that, like, yeah, I could imagine it still doing well. Especially because we have to remember that PUBG was not the first game of the genre, and I suspect that you would have seen people who had been playing King of the Kill, H1Z1 King of the Kill, or other similar previous games, some of which made
those
by...
Those are from the same designer, correct?
Some of them are, right? So like the Culling existed and was not from the same designer. There are other Battle Royale games out there. And those audiences were not as big as PUBG's by any means, and it is kind of a flawed thought experiment to some degree, because I don't think that Epic would have arrived there by looking at H1Z1 King of the Kill or The Culling. They arrived there because PUBG was huge, and began tinkering and experimenting, and then decided, yeah, why not? Let's do this. But I do think that those experiences are distinct enough. Like, Battlegrounds is such a tense fucking game. Whether that's like you playing solo and like hearing footsteps, or with a group where you're calling out different numbers and headings, and you still do that in Fortnite, but it never takes on the quality. For me, it never, even down to the last couple, it never takes on that same quality of like fear, of like over trying to confront that fear and like understanding the basic geometry of the map the way that you need to in PUBG, because any little movement could be somebody. Everything is so over the top in Fortnite that it's rare that I get snuck up on or that I don't see somebody on a hill nearby. I see them on the hill and then they fucking build over to me and kill me. And that's such a different experience than Battlegrounds, which is like there's no motion and then suddenly there's motion and a short gunfight. And maybe you're able to get away or get behind cover or something, but like there's not the sort of like, oh, I'm going to build a wall in advance or build a ramp in advance on this person. And it's about like getting close enough to then pull out the shotguns and go wild. They feel like such distinct games.
Yeah. I want to ask how much of that is down to the aesthetics.
I think it's gameplay design as much as aesthetics. Like the aesthetics definitely help differentiate them. But the fact that in PUBG, one of the first skills people told me to learn was to advance on people while building ramps to hide behind and then poke your head out over the ramp, or to build a recon tower, which is like a wall and a ramp, so the wall would protect you while you peek over and look down. Like those sorts of strategies just don't work. Those don't exist in Battlegrounds, and suggest a sort of a level of aggression of play that, or demand a level of aggression of play that prevents you from being the sort of like hyper careful sniper, tactical, like disengaged sort of play where you're firing when you know you have a firing solution or something in Battlegrounds. Right? In Battlegrounds, it's like, all right, can I win this fight? I'm going to start pulling the trigger. I'm going to start taking shots. In PUBG, what you do in Fortnite, it's like, okay, how do I close in on this person? How do I get height advantage on them? How do I destroy what they've built? And those are just different types of play.
I mean, like even down to like when we wanted to have experiences where, all right, this would be a game where we're not going to get it. Like in PUBG, the map is so large that you can intentionally choose places that are out of the way that you're not going to, you know that you're sacrificing getting good loot, but you are potentially having a match that will last 20, 30, 40 minutes because you want to take your time, you want to do just like a slower pace, and that just doesn't exist in Fortnite. Like you can occasionally get lucky and you'll pick a spot where there's no one else with you, but the map is so dense and there's no matter where the battle bus or, you know, the plane equivalent starts, like you can basically get to any other part of the map like pretty quickly, and that's not going to be a problem. Like the game is very much focused around like confrontation, aggression, pushing players up against another. Like it is an even more aggressive form of PUBG, which is already an aggressive form of shooter, right, which is trying to force confrontation through the blue wall, through the circle. And then Fortnite just exasperates that both through the size of the geography, the way the gunfighting works, and the fact that players can build and then force confrontations and strategic and tactical advantages that you just can't create for yourself. Like you can be just stuck in a place in PUBG where you are fucked. And in Fortnite, like, yes, there are places where are better than others, but you can also create your own height advantage and like geometry around you, which is just and even playing Fortnite in the couple of weeks that we played it, like lessons from PUBG serve you very poorly in Fortnite and actually make you a worse Fortnite player, because you have to, although they share a similar overall structure, like the actual minute-to-minute play is so different that treating them the same is just going to get you in trouble.
I've started thinking, and this might be a slightly weird analogy, but I've started thinking of Fortnite and PUBG almost in the same way I think of Dark Souls and Bloodborne, in a weird way. In the way that certain types of aggressive play are much more rewarded in approaching either or the other sort of way. Although I have to admit, I haven't played much PUBG because I just kind of couldn't because of the whole controller issue. But it weirdly in my brain is sort of hitting those same strokes of like, okay, aggression is more rewarded in this type of game, and therefore it's somewhat more accessible, and therefore I am personally more interested in it because I'm not a skilled player.
Right.
That's my weird analogy for the day, I guess.
I think that's a good analogy. The one caveat being that you can look at someone like Matt Pasquale or Will Smith or the many actually super good PUBG players who stream and stuff who are very aggressive, but they've climbed a fucking hill to get to where they can be confident about their aggression. And the reason they win is because they're aggressive, right? Though even then, they know when to shut up and hide in a bush or go into a shack and like let somebody else take a fight and then go in to pick off the survivors.
Go watch our recent stream with Matt Pasquale. It's like a perfect demonstration, like as someone that understands when to just like sit your ass down on a hill, wind, like, goes into a shack, like, knows when to take a I mean, like, that's exactly the dynamic that you're talking about.
Yeah, totally, totally.
I often need to, and I mentioned this, I've mentioned this before, like, on Twitter, but I often need to decompress from playing Fortnite with playing PUBG because Fortnite is so intense all the time. It's very, like, McDonald's, and I need those, quiet moments that I get from PUBG, even if those quiet moments are oftentimes very tense and stressful,
right?
Where I can like walk around without a bunch of like without chest sounds like in my ears
and without a gnome and, laughing at you,
right? And without hearing people like breaking shit apart. I need the quiet moments where I can like loot and figure out what to equip. And you can run through a Fortnite map and have someone snipe at you and have somebody just completely miss because snipers in that game aren't great. And in PUBG, you can be running through a field completely silent and have somebody just kill you, you know, with one shot.
That sounds weird. Less decompressing.
But it's decompressing in like a stressful way because Fortnite is so intense in this, not very stressful way. It's intense in a way that my brain is going a million miles a minute because there's so much sensory stuff going on. And in PUBG, that sensory stuff doesn't really exist. You know, you hear shots and they're 500 meters away and you know kind of the general area where they're coming from. In Fortnite, you hear shots and like building and chests and gnomes and a million things at once.
It's like Fortnite is like high reps, low weight, and PUBG is like high weight, low reps. Like it's just like, all right, every time I lift this fucking thing, it's gonna be okay. I'm gonna move from this house to that house. Hold my breath. Mm-hmm. Let's go. And that and is also a different experience.
And also, I feel like Fortnite's battle royale mode would have garnered popularity without the existence of PUBG because you don't. Drake wasn't playing PUBG. You know, right. There are people out there who love Fortnite because, like, it's accessible, it's free, everybody around them is playing it because it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, that's a huge point that none of us really brought up. Good call.
Yeah, there are, like, famous people who love Fortnite who would never touch PUBG. So, and also kids, like parents are going to like want the parents would probably much rather their kids play a free battle royale game where there's no blood. It's very colorful. It's lively. It's not like it doesn't feel like you are out on this empty battlefield waiting to snipe somebody from 300 meters away.
Right. Totally.
I mean, I will say just in like, I don't think there's any way that like, Fortnite Battle Royale exists without PUBG. Like literally so many of the design elements are just ported over and adapted to Fortnite. That obviously it owes its existence to that. If they'd somehow come up with the idea completely independently and created it on their own, I do think it still would have been a huge success because so playing the two games and I'm the PUBG newbie of this panel in a lot of ways, although I will say that after like a weekend with PUBG, I came back to Fortnite and was like stone cold, man. Like PUBG made a killer out of me, and then it brought my mayhem to Fortnite for at least one day. I had a good day, but when I look at the two, Fortnite feels actually a lot like an RTS to me in a way that like. PUBG feels like a, you know, an Arma type game, right? Like, or Austin, you'll feel me on this. I think one of the old Delta Force games with the voxels from ages ago, where the map was huge and like a big part of the skill of it was just like reading the little folds and ripples of the terrain and figuring out like what pixel was moving out there so you could kill it or at least be scared of it. And that's how that feels. It's a tactical like military sim in a lot of ways, or at least that's in its DNA. When I play Fortnite, it's a base builder from a third-person shooter perspective, but it's still kind of a base builder RTS for me in a lot of ways. And that's kind of why I think it's really popular. I think it kind of stealths a lot of the cool things about RTSs into a new format, but it's also why I find the game incredibly fucking daunting.
Yeah, I wish it was more of a base builder is the thing. Like, so we did the while we were doing our Fortnite, they re-released the 50 versus 50 mode. And I don't know who on this call had a chance to play that. I know I did, Danica, Patrick, yeah. You did.
I think most of us did.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Give
awesome.
That a shot.
Cool. The final game, one of the final games that we played, I had a good time with it basically all weekend or all the time that I played it. But then in the one of the final matches Danica and I had on Sunday, the final circle, I mean, I guess it's one circle in 50v50, but it ended up on Lonely Lake, whatever the lake is called, whatever
Loot
that lake.
Loot Lake.
With like literally on top of it with the, I don't know if you remember this, Loot Lake has that island in the middle, little tiny island with a house. And then on one side, there's kind of like an industrial like factory set up, a couple of kind of factory buildings. And it was so amazing because it came down to basically building two fort or a similar sort of what's the Unreal version of that kind of map where there's just like two sides shooting across
facing worlds.
Yeah, exactly. Where both sides built up these bases that were kind of horizontally entrenched across from each other with the lake between them. And everything about it was so good. Like, I want that game on smaller scales. I want it to be a 10v10 fight. I want it to be a 4v4 fight that feels sort of like the way that did. That is about, I'm going to build a base around some of this geometry. I'm going to knock what I need to knock down. I had so many moments where it was like, you know, I saw someone go down, Danica went down, or I went down, and we had to like build our way towards each other or run through the gaps where there was no cover to try to reach each other to heal each other. And it was the first time that game felt like the building felt more than just competitive, but actually a little bit expressive, because you ended up seeing players like start building out these little wings of the structure and then like kind of advance and re-entrench themselves 20 feet ahead of them, you know, and another 20 feet ahead of them again, and setting up the launch pads called? I think they're called launch pads. Setting up launch pads between different sections of the bases so that you could run between them based on where the enemy was pushing. It was like one of the best experiences I've had playing that game. And it did feel like a base builder, because it did feel like, I mean, there was a point where I was literally collecting resources and I was like, Danica, do you have any steel? Because there's a vending machine here. I want to buy this grenade launcher so I can start trying to take down the enemy's fort. And I was like going around to find all the brick I could or whatever, like knocking down walls. And like, I was the unit in an RTS collecting the resources necessary to buy a unit. It was really cool. And I wish I saw more of that in the 4v4 mode or the 2v2 mode, but instead, or the solo mode, but instead what I mostly see is I'm going to get height over you and shoot you with this tactical shotgun.
Yeah.
Or blow up your cover with a grenade launcher or a rocket, you know?
Also, Danica, go ahead.
I was just going to say that last round that we played was also very, very even until the end. And that
true.
Was, I think, one of the first times that we had been in a 50v50 match where the numbers were so close. And
right.
Then at the end, we just thinned them out. I think it was 17 on our team alive. And also, another thing that helped hugely in that round was I stuck with you. And
right.
Normally we just don't do that. And we always say, hey, we should stick together. But if we're in the same base area, I think we're fine. If we're with our other teammates,
which is not true.
It's not true because we're not communicating with them. But that, I think, was a big part of why towards the end of Fortnite, I had so much fun, because 50v50 is such a different experience than squads.
Right.
Yeah, I was actually excited briefly. We were in the middle of it. I thought we were coming into the game at a really good time, where they added this item called the Porta Fort, which you just throw down this grenade and it builds like this, like a pretty, not elaborate, but it basically builds like a funnel for a tower with some tires at the bottom, and the tires in this game you can bounce off of. So you come in, you funnel yourself up, and then it kind of diagonally splits out a little bit so that you have like that exact diagonal sort of like height advantage, something you can peek over to see players. And if people want to come in, they have to like go in through your tunnel, and you have a chance to kind of take them out, and you can throw grenades down, it's the traps, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, I was like, oh, like, I wonder if the game is going to start addressing sort of the skill floor problem that I think this game has often for players that are just starting to get into the game. Because the, like, one of the most, like, intimidating parts of Fortnite is because it's not not just building things, like lots of games involve building, but few games involve building as competition. And so just because you've built things in Minecraft or in Fallout 4 or other games, like that's not necessarily transferable to what's happening in Fortnite, because the reason you're building is completely different and the speed at which you need to build is completely different. And if you're on a PS4, like you're at a disadvantage because the controller is just not nearly as fast as the bindings you can do on a computer with a mouse and keyboard. But even now that I've gotten like the hang of like the basics, I still wish there were more tools in the game that addressed the skill floor. Because I still think, like, even if you were to put in more tools like the Portafort or make things like even a Portafort that was half the size or not nearly as complex, just things that allowed players at the like click of a button to build things that were tactically useful, I think would be incredibly useful, because it wouldn't eliminate the skill ceiling. It would just mean that people who are getting into the game, or players that aren't, just even if they are into the game but are at a competitive disadvantage because they're not particularly good at the building part but still want to play Fortnite, I wish the game was a little more versatile in offering options for players. Because it's like the building stuff I still find completely fascinating, even as someone that traditionally is not into building stuff in games at all. Like, I never touched it in like 60 hours of Fallout 4 because I just don't like building bases and stuff like that.
Same.
Just hate it. Like, absolutely, like outright hate it. Wish I could have paid $10 to have a cool base just built for me.
Listen,
like,
Patrick, I would have paid give someone me 20 to, bucks.
I know.
An hour. I got you.
Even Minecraft, I never built.
Yeah, I abhor it. Like, I need objectives. I want like a reason to do it. And anyway, so one of the things that I liked about Fortnite was, I mean, Austin, you mentioned like the wishing the game pushed more on player expressivity, but I like constantly found in the game that there was accidental expressivity happening as you made your way through the world. Like when you come across a town, and the reason you find out that like you shouldn't loot it or you shouldn't look around is because you just see this giant sprawling sets of like wooden structures just all over the place, and you can tell like where the flow of the battle, like who had the advantage. They're like, there are stories being told by the building that I just found utterly fascinating. That like it made even just trekking across the world like really interesting. Like in the 50v50 where they put in a proliferation of the jump pads, like the joy I would have seeing someone building a stairway to heaven where they're just throwing up like 60 levels worth of diagonal buildings so that people can start shooting their way across the map. Like that stuff was just really fascinating, unique, and like probably accidental consequences of like the game they built, that I found like really charming and like often like beautiful in a weird way. There was
like
only
haunting sometimes, right? Yeah, you go into a town, it's like, well, what the fuck happened
here? You
know
what that stuff really reminded me of? Was what? You know the lowest level of Inception where they just like, it's like pure building, it's that weird like cityscape, but it's just all creations from their mind. Yes. That's Fortnite feels like you're being hunted by one of those people sometimes. Maybe you could be one of those people, but like you are in that world now where like, yes, there was a physical realm here once, but now these gods of hotkeys and shit have like built these weird like tactical ziggurats out of nowhere, and like some of them are dead, but their ruins remain, and maybe they tell a story. Right, like the broken off fragment of a tower suggests like maybe the person who built that one, or maybe that's the place they set up to snipe and just got like knocked out by a rocket and that's all that remains. And I love that stuff.
Totally. Yeah, I should clarify very briefly that I don't mean that there is no expressivity in the game as is in like the regular battle royale mode. I think there's lots of micro expressivity. There's a lot of decision making when it comes to how aggressive you want to be, whether you want to focus on building up or building defenses, whether you know you want to get into the bunny hopping fight or if you want to get into the kind of long distance sniper match. We made lots of fun choices along the way. I have some pretty clear memories of like, you know, we're walking down a plateau and see another group down by the riverbank who's building up, and like, do we engage or not? What do we decide? All that stuff does totally work, but I also wish there was more of that macro level expressivity that I saw in some of the 50v50 matches, and that's in the Save the World mode, because that mode is all about the sort of like, how do I make a fort that feels cool to me but also is like tactically sound, and what do I think tactically sound is? And so I wish there was more fort building and less, not less, but on top of there being this sort of quick thinking reaction fort building, the sort of like tower building, more of the like, all right, here's where I'm holding out. I'm placing my fucking banner down. I'm building my fort here. Let's go.
This is why I think, Danica, you mentioned this, that it would be cool if Fortnite had a capture the flag mode.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Because imagine if you had like, I don't know, let's say like 10 on 10 or something like that, where like you start off with the flag and then you have to build that base to try and protect people from raiding in and getting the flag. Like that sounds fucking cool. Like,
oh, that'd be good.
I think what I'm excited about, like the future of Fortnite, beyond like the battle royale mode, is like the battle royale mode revealed was how much the building part fundamentally changes a lot of like otherwise like rather rote or like quote unquote normalized like sort of game modes, and like that wrinkle of like building like free expression in building a base with a group of people, like. I've played plenty of Capture the Flag. I don't need to play Capture the Flag again, but putting it into Fortnite, like, that sounds, like, new and different in a way that, like, the building, like, allows for.
Yeah.
So we have a question on Twitter from reader Sebastian. What expectations were most thoroughly subverted by your playing experience? And, Danielle, I think I want to start here with you, because... I think maybe you maybe came into this with the most sort of anticipation in some ways, because like PUBG was so closed off to you because it's such a mouse and keyboard game. Yeah. But I'm curious what your expectations were, and then like what genuinely surprised you here with Fortnite.
I think Danielle also knew more about Fortnite than any of us.
That's possibly true, just because I've watched my girlfriend play it for like a year. She's actually been playing it the whole time. She's been sort of riding the wave of, you know, watching it become really popular. So I had seen a lot of Fortnite up until this point, but I wasn't, you know, super invested. Like, this was sort of like, oh, okay, I'm sitting on the couch grating while she's like playing the game. So I wasn't like, you know, invested in her tactical abilities or anything like that.
Right, right.
But I was exposed to the game for this entire time. And so at first I wrote it off as like, okay, I guess it looks like cartoony, you know, DreamWorks, whatever. That's fine, I guess. and you shoot people and that's boring.
That's all okay, right,
whatever.
I guess. All right.
Yeah, basically, like... I didn't have high expectations going in, and frankly, I thought she was playing this game because it was popular and not because, like, she liked it or anything. Later on, as I started playing it and realizing this is a really fun game, I actually like the way it looks. I actually really enjoy the, like, garbage DreamWorks aesthetic. I think it's really fun. I like the character designs. I like the over-the-topness of it. I almost sort of compared it to a Saints Row kind of thing. Like, it's not nearly as over-the-top as Saints Row, but it's sort of in the realm of a Saints Row, and I love me some Saints Row, especially like the later games. Although I had a lot of fun with two, so don't worry. So, you know, like a lot of that is going on, the like bargain basement garbage satire kind of stuff, you know, the Tomato Town and the whatever Moisty Myers, like even the names are very kind of goofy and fun. And just the sheer fact that I could play this game made me feel a lot more welcome, because the one time I ever tried playing PUBG, I spent the entire first, round just stuck in level geometry. Like, I parachuted in, and I was stuck in a roof the entire time. And then the second round, I couldn't run because it was really just not optimized for controller support. And, like, that's fine. That's a decision they can make, whatever. But here I was playing this game, and I was like, I can play it. Oh, my God, this is great. I can play this game. I can be at least... partially useful maybe to my team. I can hang on with somebody who knows what they're doing, and maybe I can shoot somebody occasionally. And
you fucked up those people in the prison.
Yeah, cool. I did okay. I got those two kills. I was pretty happy about that. So just the fact that this is an accessible game that a scrub ass scrub like me can go in and have like a base, just an absolute base level competency in any sense of the word, was really fun. That, and I actually like building things in games. I'm not saying I am like any kind of master builder, but I enjoy that sort of thing. Like, if you give me a set of tools, I'll make some wacky thing and feel good about it and feel like I enjoyed myself that day. So I sort of enjoy that there is that aspect to it. I'm still like not even nearly any kind of skilled player, But yeah, I really appreciate that I could go in and have fun with it. And the most surprising thing, of course, was that I liked the way it looked and I liked the way that it felt. And of course, that made me start talking to my girlfriend and be like, hey, I actually like this game. I'm shocked. I really like this game. She's like, yeah, it's actually ridiculously fun. So we kind of had that moment where we both realized we weren't just doing it for work, and it was kind of nice.
I want to piggyback on this just a little bit because, Danielle, you mentioned like not being the greatest or whatever, but I think part of the fun of Fortnite, at least for me, were those little moments where like you got two kills when the rest of the team was dead, or like yeah. I knocked three people towards the end of a 50v50 match, or Rob was by himself just like taking people to town. Those moments are so good. Those moments like make that game for me. I feel like you don't have to be good at this game. That's why I feel like this is so different from PUBG, is like, you don't, of course it helps to be good and have the building down, but like, I don't feel like bad about not being great at this game in the way that I sometimes feel kind of self-deprecating when I'm playing PUBG. I feel fine about not being that great at this game.
I'm having fun playing a game, you know?
Yeah.
The one thing there that I'll say is I think you're right that, like, I have a good time when I'm playing Fortnite, regardless of the fact that, like, I'm not good at building. I'm not good at many things. I got that one crossbow kill. I'm very proud of that crossbow kill. Yeah. But other than that, I don't have many, like, highlights in Fortnite. What I will say is I often feel better about my role as a supporter in a squad game of PUBG than in Fortnite. When things go wild in Fortnite, I often feel like it's my fault that I can't pull it together for the team, where it's like, oh, I just need to get over there and get the shotgun blast in to save Patrick, or like, oh, Danica's up on that roof, I just need to quickly figure out how to belt to that roof too late.
Maybe we just don't know how to do that yet.
Well, I've put in, you know, 30 hours in the last 2 weeks. That's the limit, right? Because within the first 10 hours of playing PUBG, I felt like I was contributing even just by saying, there's three guys at 270, or like, oh, someone's coming near me. A friend of mine, I'm just going to start shooting in their general direction to distract them. Or I'm going to lay down fire so that somebody else can like heal for a second. All of those little things feel like they matter a lot in PUBG. And so even when Matt Pasquale carries us to a chicken dinner, it feels like there are
I'm still resin both of y'all.
You're still resin.
So we can get
right?
that chicken dinner.
I think so firmly about one of my first chicken dinners was Matt Pasquale and Matt Kessler and me playing together in a trio. And there was a moment when I realized, like, wait, we need to give Pasquale the sniper rifle. Like, let me put everything on the ground. I'm going to reassign who has what weapons. And it was not to get me good shit. It was me giving up the best shit. And we, like, swapped weapons, and then we went out there, and, like, we got it into a fight at a range near that little, there's, like, a little kind of courtyard and house area, or, like, like apartments, basically, to the east of the school, or to the west of the school, to the east of the mansion, I guess. It just like went wild. It just went like completely wild. And because we'd switched off the weapons, Pasquale had what he needed to like get the job done. And that felt good. And like, I don't ever feel that good. And obviously we haven't won a true victory royale in squads in Fortnite. But like, I rarely feel like I'm contributing to the team in the same way. I feel like I'm working with people next to them, and it works out sometimes, but I just don't get that same jolt of like, yes, like I'm helping.
I did in duos. I felt the exact same way as you did in squad, which is why like I hope to continue playing more of Fortnite. Like Will Smith, a friend of the show, has expressed an interest in getting into it and trying to understand that game. And I was like, hell yeah, I'll play with you. Like I want to go in pursuit of the win in duos. I'm not that interested in getting it in squad. And PUBG was the same thing. Like I'll play squad, but like, duos remains like my favorite way to play PUBG. I think it is absolutely my favorite way to play Fortnite, because it, by virtue of proximity and just the virtue of like the kind of encounters you can get into in duos, like there are just less instances for my particular skill set and skill level where in squad, you can just be swarmed and just destroyed by a group that just knows what they're doing. that just happens less frequently in duos. Like, and even if you do encounter a set of players that know what they're doing, it's just more manageable 2v2. Like, there's more of an opportunity for something accidental or to sneak around the corner on someone or just get the jump. And so I found myself being far more satisfied playing duos in that game than I did in almost any other mode. Like, solo was fine. Like, it was good to, like, experiment and to, like, wrap my head around, like, the shooting and to just jump into, you know, Tilted Towers and kind of just wreck some shit. But, yeah, duos was far and away my favorite way to play the game.
I need to play more duos.
Yeah, like, for me, duos seemed far and away the most fun. I was actually pretty decent at solos, but that's mostly because I'm very good at, like, hiding, basically. Like, I basically play solo mode like Rambo First Blood, where, like, you actually don't see me for, like, an hour of the movie, just, like, people getting fucked up.
Rob Cena.
God.
But Rob,
are you going to buy the exclusive $30 Rambo skin for Fortnite when that inevitably comes out?
I am not, Austin, because I have some self-respect and I have some self-control.
Okay. I'm holding out for the Apollo Creed myself, so
yeah.
I
mean. But the weird thing about squads for me is that, I don't know, Fortnite, it just, for some reason, it doesn't work for me in Fortnite, and it does in PUBG. And, like, PUBG, it just feels like there's enough space on the map for you and a squad to land and pick up some momentum before you get into confrontation as a squad, where you can actually engage with some tactics and forethought and planning. Like, you can actually have those conversations of, like, how do we want to handle this next encounter? How do we want to handle this space we've got to traverse? And maybe that is just a function of the size of the map in PUBG. Maybe it's a function of the way that combat tends to be a lot more quickly decisive in PUBG. I'm not sure. But every single, like, four-person squads game of Fortnite we've played, it has felt a little bit claustrophobic. Like, literally, it is a dice roll on landing as to how that's going to go. And then you have a game. Then you discover, like, whether or not you're going to have a good squads run. And when you do, that can be a lot of fun. But, man, it really does. And it's probably a function of our skill level, too. Yeah. But it really does feel like with squads, the very first thing you have to do is clear this initial hurdle to see whether your squad is effectively, like, bought in, right? Like, were you able to ante up into this game?
Well, I think this goes back to something we were talking before, where, like, the game doesn't want you to, like, go off, find some loot, and then like, stumble upon a squad. It's like, if you go down there, if it's 4-on-4, your primary goal should be hunting down that squad and taking them out. Like, Fortnite wants you to go, and you're going to be punished if you decide to, like, I hope we can kind of, like, just skirt around this and get away. Like, essentially, Fortnite is saying, like, that's the wrong way to play. Like, you're both not going to learn how the kind of wonky combat works, and we should probably talk about the bunny hopping at some point here. But, like, yeah, like, the moment you show cowardice in Fortnite is the moment, like, any decent player worth their salt is just going to, like, push you into the ground and move on, because it just pushes and punishes anyone who isn't willing to just jump in and start pulling the trigger, because that, like, there just aren't, it feels like there are places to hide because you can build, but the moment you start hiding is the moment that someone that knows what they're doing is just going to completely wreck you.
Totally. I mean, that kind of just speaks to the difference in combat, too. I think a lot about the thing that my friend Jack DeKeet, occasional Waypoint contributor, said about PUBG when he first started playing that last year, which was just, hey, the combat in this feels like the way action movie combat feels. Like, there is a flow to it. There are shots, you know, shots outside the windows near the yellow house, and you kind of start to craft little micro stories around it. I think about, you know, again, Matt Pasquale just had that 16 kill game of PUBG the other day, but even just that finale where he's, like, inside the shack, there are shots, he pops out, he, like, wraps around the entirety of the house on the ground, and then ends up getting that, like, sniper headshot on the third person he gets there by, like, tilting his head around the side. Or I think about a time, you know, at this point, a year ago, 8 months ago, 10 months ago, when I found the a good sniper rifle for the first. It was just the Kark for the first time, and I had like an 8x scope on it, Patrick. And we were going towards the that area that's like a few low kind of retail shops, and then that one like three or two floor a base in PUBG where there was a like two or three teams engaging inside of that building, and like I was staying back and providing sniper support, and you were moving in with a shotgun. And like I remember this clear as day because it tells a little mini narrative that is akin to the sorts of action movie and fiction narratives of what action looks like, right? Like I was taking the sniper shot and I was terrible with it at first, but bit by bit I learned how the thing worked, and finally I got this really great headshot through the second floor window. The Fortnite doesn't have time for that. Like Fortnite wants you to go play the game, and the game is rush in, like build well, build to get a kind of a superior position, and bunny hop until you shoot somebody to death with a tactical shotgun, or have a distance on them and have the recon wall set up, the recon tower set up, so that you can poke your head out, take some shots with an assault rifle or a scoped weapon maybe, and get them at a distance. But like it's about engaging, building, firing. There's like it feels like there are a number of optimal strategies, and there are strategies in PUBG also, but the way that those express out, right? Just think about all the times there's no vehicles in Fortnite, and so suddenly like vehicles can't get in the way that they get in the way in a really goofy, funny way in PUBG, where you're suddenly doing a road trip movie, you're in a boat somewhere, and all of that like moreness is not necessarily like, oh, it's a better better designed combat game. But it does mean that there's a more variety of experiences for me in terms of just theme and encounter and storytelling. I can tell you about the times that Patrick was trying to hide under the water as people were sniping down at us, you know, or was stuck behind the rock and the guy was right above the rock. In Fortnite, that guy just builds up and then aims down and shoots Patrick in the fucking head. You know what I mean? Like those, and that's good because that means the game for Fortnite, who's trying to attract this broad player base. You play the game, you get better at the game, it gives it legs as a competitive game, I get it. But it's not hitting me because I want to tell those stories as best as I can. I want the car to explode sometimes, I want the boat to get beached, I want somebody to yell at me for flipping the bike over, you know?
We should maybe talk about the large rodent in the room, the bunny hopping, and the combat. Since you have brought it up in the last few minutes, it seems to loom a bit large when you think about Fortnite combat. How do we feel about Fortnite as a competitive shooter? How are y'all finding it?
I don't play a lot of competitive shooters at this point. Like I play PUBG. I played Destiny 2 a lot, and Destiny 2 feels fantastic. So it's a hard thing to compare it to, you know. And Destiny 2 doesn't have bunny hopping. I guess maybe this is the thing. I think Destiny 2 is a pretty cartoonish game when it comes to like, oh, you are space wizards who have magic powers and who, you know, throw energy balls around or pull out an energy staff or fire energy arrows because that's the weird space magic class you are. But it never feels goofy in the way that it feels when I see people bunny hopping and shooting at each other at the end of a Fortnite game, or whenever I'm being killed by someone. Even when I get bunny hopping kills, even when I like outmaneuver or like plant my feet when they jump and shoot them out of the sky, even when it just works out in my favor, I never quite feel like that sort of close range combat is fun. I do like – I've come around on the feel of like the mid-range weapons and the long-range weapons. I don't mind firing the assault rifles and the crossbows and the other kind of like the SMGs and stuff like that. I kind of come around on those. But that like hop, 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 shoot, hop, shoot, hop, shoot stuff just doesn't look cool to me. Even when I win, it doesn't feel or look cool.
It has a long lineage. Like Counter-Strike totally. Like, is
– And
like,
I think it looks goofy as shit there too.
Like the fixation on it is interesting because I think people have forgotten how much bunny hopping goes back to 90s.
Right.
Like Epic, Unreal Tournament.
Right.
Unreal, Quake 3. Like Quake itself, like totally. Bunny hopping like has a long, long, long tradition in hardcore PC shooters that has been ironed out from the Call of Duties and you know Halo, which is like which is very similar to Destiny, when you're more of a tank as a character.
But right.
Yeah, like it's I found it interesting how I bounced off it and then came to like try and grapple with it as it was partially because, like, forgetting, like, my own history. Like, I played so much Quake 3 Arena. I played so much Unreal Tournament. Like, I played a lot of Counter-Strike back when it first got started. And, like, that was, like, buddy hopping was just, that is intrinsic to the legacy of the type of shooters that a studio like Epic, like, built their original name on.
Right.
Yeah, can I ask, so, again, not, I don't have a huge history with a lot of those games. I don't have a huge history with competitive games in general. But is there something about, like, bunny hopping that turns you off specifically, Austin? Like, it in my mind, the all of everything that happens in these games looks pretty goofy. Like, there's nothing that's, like, you know, quote-unquote realistic about the guns or the way they fire or anything like that. But is it just that it feels like a crapshoot in some way? Or
no,
is there, less skill involved in bunny hopping? Or
no, I feel it getting... I felt myself getting better, for sure, at the bunny hopping fight. Like, if you track my play through the course of these days, I'm probably worse at the end and worse at the beginning. And in the middle, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm holding my own in these fights. You can see that I've learned how to build a little bit. It mostly feels like... I don't think it's about realism. I think it's about sort of playing with language that reminds me of how stories are told in other medium. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you look at the stories I just told about PUBG, all look goofy in a vacuum, but while playing evoked to me the experience of, you know, watching a war movie or watching Miami Vice or, like, you know, playing the movie, Michael Mann, the Michael Mann movie, they played the way action sequences in kind of pulpy action stories in fiction read. I don't have an internalized, like, love for, and then me and this dude jumped around in circles pulling triggers at each other,
sure.
Right? Like, even when you look at, like, the John
Woo
stuff, at least
off.
That's about. That's what it was. I said, I was going to John Woo, wasn't I? Like, but even there, that looks different than this, right? Because that's about, like, these... I was playing something else recently that had that sort of... You do horizontal dashes and stuff and shoot. And that worked better for me than hopping in place or hopping... Like, doing these kind of horizontal, almost like folk dancing, jumping around each other stuff. And I think maybe part of it is it's third person, right? It was like, I see myself doing this and it doesn't read as anything to me. I don't know how to tell a story about, and then we got into a close-up duel and we bunny hopped around each other. And it's just my brain. I don't think this is a bad thing. Lots of people enjoy it. I'm cool with them enjoying it. I don't think that their brains are bad. I just think I don't like it, even though I, you know, have gotten better at
You're
it. It's just never
going to
click.
That's
I'm not
okay.
a bunny hopper. Yeah. Or if I am,
it's not even less that. It's like you can see, like, a through line. A lot of what Austin is talking about is, like, it's related to, like, wanting to tell stories about his play when, like, I don't, like, that's it. That's cool.
I don't care about winning. I care about telling a good story. Do you know what
Whereas I'm fine just playing Fortnite and just, like, getting into a shotgun battle. And, like, that's just it. Like, that's, and maybe that's rooted in, like, my own history with, like, a lot of these games. Is like, I'm fine with things just being throwaway and for what they are,
right.
Like, not, and it doesn't have to tell a story because that's just not what I'm there for.
Like, if I can't call up a friend after and be like, yo, I have to tell you about this Fortnite match, and I can do that with a lot of it. I can do it with all the stuff that I've talked about that I do really like about Battle Royale. But then the bunny hopping happens, and it's like, well, and then we fought, and... Well, and then what? Like, and then we jumped around each other like 6 times, and then I got him. And like, I maybe I don't have the lexicon to really make that sing the way I want to.
Well, that is
like my sub objective of every video game I play. So that's just who I am.
Danica, as someone who isn't maybe quite as wedded to their implicit narratives, and maybe doesn't have that weight of history with, like, the way shooter characters have generally controlled and evolved. Like, what do you make of the way combat flows in Fortnite versus, like, PUBG?
Well, I still prefer using an AR because I'm not a good shot in games. So I'm still, like, using an AR and not aiming perfectly. But the cool thing about Fortnite is your aim doesn't have to be spot on to be hitting people, it feels like. I know on console there's aim assist. On PC there's not, but it still feels like if I'm taking shots in the general direction, I'm most likely hitting somebody. Unlike with PUBG where I have to be very methodical and careful with my shots. I don't enjoy the bunny hopping. I don't enjoy the shotguns. I don't pick up the pistols. I just pick up ARs. And it's convenient because ARs and SMGs are what you use to take down towers too. So it's kind of just like, I have one gun. Ammo is a huge thing. Ammo feels a lot more important in Fortnite than in PUBG. Obviously, hell yeah, it's important in PUBG, but you need 400 rounds if you're going to be shooting at a tower and also trying to take people down. I think there was a person that I killed in one of our 50v50 matches who had 100 rounds of the medium ammo for ARs, or not 100, 1,000, 999. and I picked that up and I felt like I was set. Like when I have less than 200 bullets in PUBG, I don't give a shit. You know, I can have 60 bullets and feel like I'll be fine for a game. In Fortnite, if I have less than 200 bullets, I feel like there's no way I'm going to be able to do anything here. So I still prefer PUBG's, you know, I prefer PUBG's combat, and I don't play a lot of shooters, and Fortnite's is a little bit floaty and, you know, it's fun. But for me, I'm just shooting to shoot, I guess.
Shoot your shot, you know?
Shoot my shot, yeah. Most of the time missing, but that's okay.
Yeah, I think for me, I just feel like in Fortnite, with the exception of the AR for the most part, I am fighting with the weapons in a lot of cases. Like, honestly, what it reminds me a lot of is how shitty all your weapons are in Kane and Lynch 2, Dog Days, where, like, literally everything has just these massive, like, spray patterns, with the exception of, like, a handful of weapons. And so, like, kind of the objective is to get in someone's face where you're close enough that the error bars around your cursor basically don't matter. You're still going to, you know, unload everything into them. And I think it ends up making Fortnite combat feel a lot more like Melee with guns. And I actually do kind of like that. Like, for me, I think because I share a lot of the same frames of reference with Patrick, like, two people running around in circles and dancing up and down with shooting rockets at each other, it feels really natural to me in a weird way, where I'm like, ah, yes, my old friend.
That feels like the demo map for Quake 3 Arena that everyone played for like 8 months.
Right. But it does make for a... But the weird thing is, like, so many shooters have gotten away from that now it does feel kind of alien to me. Like, so many games have tried to solve for, like, endless circle strafing and bunny hopping battles, that now when you encounter a game that's just like, hell yeah, let's just have that, all of it, it can feel really disorienting. But as for, like, whether it affects the sort of way the story I'm sort of spinning for myself, I just sort of omit those details, right? Like, it's just detail I don't spell out. It's like, it fell to close range combat. And what's left out of that is, and it looks profoundly silly. It's basically a Monty Python sketch, but it's still a weird game of skill that I can still, like, get really invested in. Even if I do usually lose it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not like, oh, it's close combat time, I'm going to stop playing. Like, I want to win.
Yeah.
You know, I just, if I had to make a choice, I would make a different choice. I will say also that I'm excited by some of the new stuff that they've added over time. And I think that they, like, I want them to lean as hard as they can into the more creative, goofy stuff. The, like, disco ball grenade that makes everyone stop and dance.
God, that was so confusing the first time it happened to me.
Did you see the weapon they just added and how people are using it? They added a sticky grenade, and you can stick it to yourself. Ooh. And so, or you can stick it to, like, people in your squad. And so people have been sticking themselves and then just, like, running into a fort and blowing themselves up, which has some really fucked up connotations given what happens in the real world on a regular basis. But if you somehow separate that out, it speaks to, like, the unintended consequences and the creativity of, like, the players and the world that, like, Fortnite has set up, that, like, they kind of introduce these, like, weird tools, and then players go and do strange things with them. Like, and one thing I'll say that PUBG completely fucked this up with. Like, PUBG has been so bad at communicating to players and, like, figuring, like, almost accidentally staying successful in a way that Fortnite, I think, other than all the sorts of other, like, obvious reasons, like it being free, You know, the creativity, like the players coming from Minecraft, coming to Fortnite, the way they have like so quickly iterated on this game, responded to fans, interact with fans, have found, like, you can see what's happening right now with, like, the comets and meteors and the way that players, and this has been well documented by Patricia over at Kotaku, like, the way that, like, these comets have been slowly getting closer in the sky and seemed to have been aimed at, like, a section of the map called Tilted Towers, and players started, like, not fighting and just camping out on these buildings and watching them get closer to see if they would crash into the ground. And so then in a patch that was otherwise, you know, putting in bug fixes and blah, 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 then they, like, showed, like, conspiracy theorists, like, sitting on top of these, like, evidence that, like, there was, like, chairs and beers and, like notes about, like, oh, what's going to happen today, crossed off. Now it says tomorrow. And, like, all these, like, little funny interactions with the audience that they have done, not just in this specific instance, like the comets and meteors have gotten a lot of attention because it's been part of this season three, I think is what they're currently in. But they've been doing that like since day one. Right. And it's been a huge underrated part of why the game has been a success. It's because they've been listening to their audience, reacting to them, and trying to find that tension between like what they want and what they think they want and what they don't know they want, and like the little things about like altering the environmental art to reflect what players are doing. It just echoes such a long way to maintaining, sustaining, and encouraging a community in a way that you may not be able to show on a balance sheet, but 100% contributes to like the longevity and the interest and passion people have for a particular game.
It is one of those things that I think I definitely wasn't giving Epic enough credit for was the way they were supporting the game last year when it felt like, oh, they're cashing in on Battleground success. It's like, well, yeah, okay. But also that constant communication, the constant iteration, the development of new things, and the gameplay changes all landed for their own reasons. And the ongoing support is like such a big part of that game's success, and hats off to them. And when I say that, what I mean is I can't afford to buy any more hats. Please stop making cool ones. Thank you.
I'm proud that I did not buy the tomato outfit. I felt comforted knowing that you did.
Yeah. Did you get the dinosaur?
Probably the best outfit.
No, I just decided to hold out entirely.
Damn.
Like like I have enough trouble like buying things in real life that I can hold. Like the idea of buying like cosmetic like things is like it would drive me crazy. So I just decided to hold firm and not do it.
I'm very curious to see how that stuff continues to develop because that stuff is super expensive. Like it is. I did as a bit. I like kind of put some money aside during Fortnite. Dude, it's too much. And there aren't many other options for customization. You know, I Battlegrounds has its own issues with loot crates and random rolls. And I think that it's better to just be like, hey, here is some stuff you can buy for money. Here it is. And fuck it. I guess like if they're getting paid, if they're finding the support that way, go for it. But I would love some low level customization in that game. Even if it's just you can pick between one of these five starter skins. And I also think the game misses some of its character, some of Save the World's character, because I suspect in hopes of finding gameplay balance, it doesn't have the smaller or bigger body types that Save the World does. Save the World has like big characters, like thick characters, and has thin characters. And I 100% understand that that's like a choice that I can imagine being made around balance and like everyone should have the same basic silhouette or something.
Oh, hitboxes, yeah.
But like those characters added so much to what made the original Save the World feel like so unique. If you go back and watch the original Fortnite, like not the original debut trailer, but the 2017 debut trailer, it's like, oh, look at these cool characters. Like this one's like a lithe ninja dude. And then this lady is like big and she can build stuff and like has a cool belt. And like, I wish it had a little bit more of that stuff. And I wish that as a player, like, you know, we had a commenter on our forums basically say like, I hate that I can't just play as a woman. Like I hate that I can't just decide that. And that I have to look at these fucking military dude sometimes. And I wish there was like a little bit of customization there for sure.
This sort of ties into a question somebody asked on Twitter from Mothlands. From watching the stream, the consensus seemed to be that people were enjoying the game, but it's not the one they'd stick with. What would get you all to stay? I'm curious, is that an accurate read of where we're at? And if so, what would entice you to stay a little bit longer in Fortnite?
I probably won't stick with it. I don't know if there's... It just doesn't feel like a game for me. I don't know if there's anything that they could really put into it that would make me stay. I think it's... I appreciate the aesthetics of the game. I just don't like them very much. And it's too sensory overload for mm-hmm. me. So
yeah. If it were an immersive sim, and you could totally, like, beat other players, like, all right, I know this will never happen. It's fair. But to answer the question, honestly, like, simmy or immersive simmy elements would be the thing that would make me play it, you know, for 1,000 hours. And if there were different ways of making the game play the game for me, because that's, of course, what I always want to do. If I could make, like, even if it was very hard or very difficult. The other thing that would make me want to play it would be if there was a legitimate way, like a skill-based way of being like a dedicated team medic or something. Like if there was an actual skill to it, not just running up to someone and pressing a button, but hey, you have like to TF2. Split this arm, you have to stop the bleeding, yeah. whatever it is. You know, basically me on my bullshit would definitely make me play that basically forever. And it's not impossible. Obviously, TF2, it's not like the medic was exactly those things, but... That's probably more likely than a giant multiplayer immersive sim.
In 50 vs. 50, you essentially could roleplay a medic and be useful.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's one of the only instances where you could like be participating like on a large... Because like the game's so... You know, in duos or squads, it would be hard to imagine how a class medic would actually be like particularly useful other than like providing boosts or something like that. But on 50v50, like absolutely, you could just decide like I'm not going to shoot. I'm just going to try and you know
create cover
and try and res people. And I think that would absolutely be useful.
And hoard shields and give them
totally. I was gonna say, I really do. I that idea of dedicated healing, Patrick and I did one of, I think maybe a duo stream where we talked about what if there were classes in this game, and boy, I want classes in this game. I want the hero shooter, like battle royale, where I think the pitch that we gave was like, just think about Overwatch battle royale, where you have like an ultimate ability that really changes things. Like imagine Pharah in a battle royale where her ult is not death from rain or raining death from above. It's being able to fly for a second. It's being able to like take off into the air and actually scan people and see where everybody is. Or imagine having the use of like Soldier 76's grenades and then and healing area and then like also his tactical visor once. You know, I would love a version of that stuff with even more basic character classes than that. Sort of like what we talked about briefly with Sea of Thieves, even where it is just like, oh, I can hold 3 healing items on top of my regular loadout, and I can hand those off to people. Like, it doesn't need to be completely cartoonish, but that's the version of it I would really love to have. Which I guess speaks to what would keep me playing is more, like I said, more weird developments. I really love the impulse grenade that lets you bounce around if you play it the right way. I really like the disco ball. I want there to be more weird stuff like that and more strange game modes. That I will continue to check in on those probably, but I don't see myself playing it at the end of a day or like meeting up with friends to play. Like it would really need to be event-based at this point. You know, I'm really curious about the comment stuff and how that all shakes out. And if there's an event tied to that, I'll definitely at least check that out, you know, but I don't see it being part of my rotation.
You know, I plan to keep playing. I'm sort of exhausted on PUBG other than when I'm kind of like brought in to play for streaming or when there's something new to check out, but like, I don't feel the pull on that game anymore. And so I fully intend to keep playing Fortnite and like in pursuit of the legitimate win at some point, and also just because it's like selfishly vital to my reporting probably to just keep like a tab on what's happening in that game as it continues to progress and progress in popularity. But yeah, even outside of that, I really enjoyed my time over the 2 weeks, and so I intend to stick with it and not play it daily, but definitely dip in every so often and just kind of see what's going on.
Rob, what about you? Because I feel like you're at a crossroads in a sense.
So am I going to jump towards PUBG or Fortnite?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Is that even a question? Like, why are we even proposing that?
No, I mean, I think I'm going to do both. Okay. Like, I've enjoyed duos. I really have. Like, and Fortnite is a game I really do want to get better at, because there is a depth there that I wasn't expecting. Like, I thought the building was just going to be kind of a cheesy gimmick. And it really isn't. Like, it's this entire other layer of play and this entire ability to quickly read a situation and build the right thing. It's almost a bit like, I use the RTS analogy. There's also an element of fighting games into it. Like, it's how you control spacing and block. And that, like, developing those skills really does appeal to me. But I think, like, in my heart, I'm right there with Danica. There's something about PUBG's, what's the way to put it? Its sense of, like, sprawling loneliness in some ways, and, like, ever-present peril, that makes it feel like this really intense survival experience and this transportive experience that Fortnite just is not. And I think I do gravitate more towards that sparse, dramatic, tense environment that PUBG has to offer. But as for what would make me stay with Fortnite make my stay with Fortnite a little bit happier, I wish there were, I don't know if there's a great solution for this. I wish there were a little more space to go get warmed up. Like, the conversation we were having around squads versus duos and the fact that Fortnite does really push you to just dive in and go fight somebody. Okay, but, like, I can do that. The thing I'm struggling with is those late game encounters where it's really down to how well you can fight and build simultaneously. And I feel like Fortnite makes it tough to get into those situations as part of a learning experience. There's not, or more accurately, it's very hard to go off somewhere where you'll know you'll have a limited number of encounters and you'll be able to experiment and play around with those different strategies, different builds. It feels a lot more like with Fortnite, I am throwing myself against a wall over and over again. And I am starting to break down that wall, but I'm still hurling myself against it. And that gets a little old. I don't know.
No, I'm trying my best not to just dump on this game, right? Like, I enjoyed my time with it. That's an honest thing. Like, I really did. I just also didn't have the come to Fortnite moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't. I feel very
come to Fortnite, Jesus. I get it.
I have I'm pretty confident in, like, understanding. It helped me understand what I liked about Battlegrounds, a game that on its face is so much plainer, so much more interested in the tactical military aesthetic that puts me off. So much less inviting to players. Though I will say Fortnite Battle Royale could stand to use some accessibility options beyond kind of the basic key bindings and, like, color blindness stuff. I would love to see macros so that you could build, like, the wall plus ramp combo in a single press instead of in multiple presses. I would love to see some sort of tutorialization around teaching people how to actually play the game, which is hard, but I would still love for them to put some resources on that and see what they could come up with. And I just think that, like, I don't know. I'm doing my best not to be the negative Nancy on the podcast because I had a good time with it. I just also...
You're allowed to have a good time with the game and not want to go back to it.
Yeah, but the thing that's tough is that I want to go back to it. I want them to do stuff that keeps me excited. But it's hard for me to imagine it when there's so many other things that I would like to be playing, you know?
All right, last question before we all go. Matangi asks on Twitter, where are we dropping?
Yeah. Tomato Town.
Yeah, 100%.
I like the outer areas. I think playing 50v50 really made me appreciate kind of just jumping out of the bus and looking and seeing where people might be going and going away from them, kind of like how I approach my drops in PUBG too. I don't like to get too spicy. I like to go places where, you know, other people won't be looting. And I really appreciate those like outer areas, like Fatal Fields. Ooh, and yeah. The farm area was fun. Yeah.
I want the toilet place. That's where I belong.
Flush Factory?
Yes, Flush Factory. That's where I, it's my true calling, my true home.
And I will say, like, as an aside, as we're talking about places we like to drop, like, one of the things that I really liked about Fortnite that I... When I would have a bad PUBG match, and I, like, came away with it with nothing, like, yeah. There was no takeaway, it was just a bad match, like, that sucks. What I liked about Fortnite is that, like, there are moments within an individual match that don't... where you don't actually learn anything, but, like, we're still, like... I still liked... And continue to enjoy every time that I whack at a tree.
Yeah.
And there's a circle for me to follow to do it a little bit better than just holding it down. When I played PvE and that disappeared, I was like, "This sucks! Like this makes
wait, did they get rid the of actual, that from PvE?
It's not in what? PvE. Like there's no circle to follow. It's just
that's different.
That used to be in PvE. So maybe
you look for the storm and the enemies come from a specific direction. But
no. Patrick's talking about hitting.
No. I'm talking about when you're crafting. Yeah. Like when you're actually trying to get materials.
Used to be in PvE.
No, wait, yeah.
Absolutely, was in PvE.
You do craft.
The hitting hitting the thing in the little like boom, like
the little.
Yeah.
It still has the little tones.
I was not
the little do re mi circles. Yeah.
I think you do.
I don't think so. It wasn't in there when I was playing it. This
weird.
Week.
Okay, maybe that was a bug. I don't know. Or they got rid of it. They got rid of it. Epic. Put it back. It's good.
It's sort of like neither here nor there. Like it was like it was finding the treasure chest. Like hearing the little sound, and then there's a little puzzle within like the match that you're playing. Like it was. I think the battle pass, like in some ways, I'll pay for season 4.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna go check out this part of the map that I haven't been to because it's going to fulfill some sort of meta requirement that's going to get me possibly some cool thing that I can put on my character. I found myself participating in that stuff, and it was satisfying and interesting, and like that little do-re-mi, like, oh, like, there's so many ways that a game could include a mechanic like that, but not make it so delightful. Like, it was a very Nintendo sort of thing to put into a game. Like, it just made interacting with something that was otherwise very rote and boring, like, a really charming experience. And I found the game to be just full of stuff like that, between the treasure chest, the finding the gnomes, like,
fuck
which
gnomes.
Are, like, haunting and bad. But, like, it's great. Like, it's so good. And that's the stuff that I found myself being surprised how much I liked, and that even in a round that ultimately went nowhere, like, those little bits made me happy on the way to losing a mid-range fight because I didn't put up the right wall.
More battle passes. Battle pass is great. I would love there to be a Battlegrounds battle pass. I would love there to be all free-to-play games should think about the battle pass model, which is like that for people who haven't played a lot of Fortnite, you get these challenges that you're told to complete every day. There's like little daily tasks. Get 2 police... pistol kills. Uh-huh. Wow, my head is definitely in a place.
Whoa.
Looking at the old news these days, and it turns out police suck. 2 pistol kills. Get you know, land in 4 places you haven't landed in. Like there's a collection of challenges that you can do to get XP, and the bar goes up, and you get rewarded with, you know, new skins for your glider or for your character or for your loading screens. But those little micro tasks kept me playing a little bit more than I thought I would. And that's shout outs to those. Big fan. Not a big fan of the police, it turns out.
Yep.
Band was all right.
Fair.
Yeah, get on that. Get on that, Epic.
I'm going to Snobby Shores. Gonna loot, the homes of the plutocrats. And then I'm going to work my way in from the outside of the map. And hopefully have a good run at the end game. So straight to Snobby Shores for me.
Nice.
And I think that concludes our Fortnite of Fortnite and this episode of Waypoint 101. Our tour of duty has ended, and we'll see where we end up next. We'll pick up another game to cover pretty soon and give you a heads up so you can all play along with us. But we gotta have that argument about what comes next internally and probably a little bit online as well. So keep an eye out for that by following all of us at Waypoint. You can follow me on Twitter at Rob Zachney. Austin, where can people find you?
Austin_Walker.
Danielle.
@DanielleRI.
Patrick.
@PatrickLubbock.
And Danica, where can't people find you online these days?
You can find the very successful tweet that says, oh, I can't believe it was in front of us all along. Goth GF is just goth gamer feet at Danica Herod.
And you can follow all that we do, including content like that, at waypoint.vice.com. Follow us on twitter.com/waypoint or on facebook.com/waypointvice. Be sure to join us again on Friday for maybe Waypoint Radio, but more likely a special 2-hour podcast about giant robots and an article about them.
I think that will have already gone up by the time they hear this, Rob.
All right, so what's going on?
Today is Frostpunk. Oh, right. Tomorrow is Battletech. This will be Wednesday of next week.
This is Wednesday? Probably. What's Monday?
It's going to be Monday. I'm fine with it being Monday. People want it to be Monday.
Look.
We're like ahead of the curve on fucking podcasts. Look at us.
We
out here.
Content. We create it. You'll hear this at some point in the middle of a lot of other podcasts about our various interests. I think there might even be one about God of War coming up in the near future. You can keep an eye out for that one as well. Until then, for Austin, Danielle, Patrick, and Danica, I'm Rob Zachney, and I am still slurping.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.